David Pasquese is a comedian, actor, writer, and producer known for She-Hulk, The Book of Boba Fett, Veep, At Home with Amy Sedaris, and one of our big favorites, the criminally canceled way too soon, Lodge 49. He's from Chicago, where he worked with Del Close and the prestigious Second City. Please welcome to Radio Labyrinth Presents, David Pasquese.
To folks who probably only recently became familiar with their with your work, they'll probably be like, oh, that's Mr. Immortal from She-Hulk. Or, that's the slime ball from Boba Fett. But for us Gen Xers, the first thing we think when we see you is, it's Stu the Meat Man.
That was a blast.
Well, what I wanted to know was, one, what was it like being on that set? And two, do you think the Red Squad is still after Stu?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I also worked with that gang on Exit 57, which was the precursor with the basically the same group, except for Jody from Strangers with Candy. And that was a sketch show that was on Comedy Central before Strangers with Candy. And I knew all those folks from Chicago. They're a little younger than me. They came up after me through Second City, but immediately after me. So we all knew each other back then, and we were goofing around back then. And then they went to New York and performed a show called Stitches, which was a sketch-ish show. And from that, that's how they got Exit 57 and stayed and did Strangers with Candy. It was a blast. I mean, I helped out a little with the writing, and I did on Exit 57 as well. So it was just a blast, but it's all working with friends, which there's no better.
We mentioned before you had appeared as Mr. Mortal on She-Hulk, which is probably one of the best superpowers for those of us who hate people.
Absolutely fantastic. I didn't know anything about Mr. Mortal before I got the job, and then I looked into it. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. The head of the Great Lakes Avengers, which is like a D-list superhero group in the Midwest, and then they received a cease and desist order for using the name Avengers. It's fantastic. I just really
Oh, we want to kind of get into your superhero origin story. I know you were born in Chicago.
Right, born in Chicago. Went to school and stayed in the Midwest, ended up in Chicago after I made my way around a couple places in college. They didn't care for me. and were very clear about it. And so I ended up at Loyola in Chicago and stumbled into improvisation, not through school, but with my older brother. Never been on stage until I was almost out of college. And this was extra that my brother and I went. He was in law school. And I stumbled into it and really found I enjoyed it, but never considered it performance, a career or anything like that. Because that's just how I grew up. And then I went to school in Italy. I went, a year abroad. And my roommate was a guy who I met there named Joel Murray. And that he's got a former
guest on this podcast.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So we were roommates over there. And we started goofing around a little bit. And then when we returned to Chicago, we continued to goof around and we have not stopped. And through him and the advice from his brothers, we ended up with Del Close in Chicago. And so we started improvising this long form group improvisation called The Herald. And lucked out that was happening when we were going. It's a lot of serendipitous and fortunate instances that lined up for me. I just kind of fell into all of it and I just kept going. And also back then, improvisation was not something that was considered a useful skill. And so it wasn't now it's kind of part of every acting curriculum. Not back then. Back then it was a guaranteed dead end. So it attracted a certain type of person. And that's what I fell in love with most, a bunch of deadbeats that were just doing it for no other reason than we liked doing it.
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah, I dabbled in stand-up some years ago, and in that time I took a stand-up, or I took an improv class from Dave Koechner. He was in Atlanta for like a couple days. And what tripped me up, I was not good at all, and he told me to be a tomahawk, and I could not. And I would like to ask you, can you be a tomahawk? Can you tell me?
I probably could not be a tomahawk. Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand what he was asking. I can't imagine. I have to say, I can't imagine Dell ever asked him to be a tomahawk. So,
how did you guys first encounter Dell? Did Joel know Dell before?
Joel did know Dell before because of his brothers, because he was their director at Second City and also worked with them at SNL. And so we went to, I didn't know anything about Dell. I didn't know that I probably should have been scared. So I just didn't know. So we got there, and then we had to audition in front of the class to see if we were going to be in the class. And so we did. And he liked what he saw, and he let us stay. And I got to work with him for a real long time in a bunch of capacities too. So I really feel fortunate about the time I got to spend there. And that's all because I received the secondary advice from Joel's brothers.
Well, if you had Mr. Immortal's powers, what would you use them for?
Well, if I could, I would experience every possible death. That's what I would do. That's what I would do.
Getting back to the Second City, who was in your class when you were there?
Our gang was Joe Liss, Chris Farley, Tim Meadows, Judith Scott, Holly Wartell. That was our main stage gang. Tim O'Malley also. Jill Talley came in. Odenkirk. Yeah, always had a really fun group. It was one of those times where it was really a fun time.
Yeah, that sounds like a great class.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, we had a pretty good time, as I recall.
Did you ever try out for SNL?
Lauren and Mike Shoemaker came, and that's, when Timmy and Chris were in the cast, that's how they got their job. So we were all looked at, and I was supposed to go out for an audition, but I was in a play and I couldn't get away. And then they talked to me about writing just, casually. And at that time I didn't know anything what that meant, or so I'm good.
Somebody whose comedy reminds me of a lot of yours is Tim Robinson from I Think You Should Leave Now.
Wow. Tim Robinson, also from Second City. Tim Robinson's fantastic. And the Detroiters. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that Tim Robinson.
I would love to. I mean, has Tim reached out to you? I really feel like he would be such a great addition.
No, he hasn't. Why don't you get him on it?
I mean, Sam. I don't understand why Sam can't hook this up.
He's I get the biggest kick out of him. And he and Sam were at Second City there in Detroit before I knew them. But then they were in Chicago together too. And that the show when they were on stage was Obama's first term, I believe. And that was one of my favorite shows at that theater, because in large part because of the two of them. The whole cast was great, but those two just slayed me. They were just plain old ridiculously funny.
I missed it. I mean, I'm from Detroit. I grew up there. I've lived in Atlanta for like the last 20 years. But yeah, I missed that whole... when I was there in the early 90s, it wasn't really... stand-up comedy wasn't really anything that you heard that much about in Detroit. It wasn't...
Right. And Second City had a theater there for a while, right by the Fox.
Yeah.
I went up and worked there for a little bit. And Jerry Minor and Keegan-Michael Key came from there too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Naima Funk. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you had got advice from the Murray brothers. What was it like working with Bill in Groundhog Day?
It was one of my first jobs, movie jobs. Not the actual first, but it was among the first. And I drive up to Woodstock, Illinois, where they shot the whole thing. And Harold Ramis, who though he was at Second City, I didn't know him. I just got the job from an audition. And I go up there, I think the 2-day job, I was there for 2 days. He walks me around and introduces me to the head of every department as though I was the fucking star. He was just the kindest, most generous person. And so then we're up in the little office where the character's psychologist, and I forget. I think there was a bone of contention as to whether I was. So we're up there, and then Harold says, "Hey, could we just have the room to ourselves?" And I look around, and it's just me and Bill Murray and Harold. And I was just thinking, this is a pretty good day. And now I'd met Bill before when Joel and I were roommates in Rome. He came through and visited his brother when he was on his way to film
The
Razor's Edge. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And Brian was in it too, and Brian was absolutely excellent.
Joel did a pretty good Brian impersonation when he was on our podcast.
He does a great Brian.
Yeah.
He does a great all of them.
Yeah. Well, another favorite flick of ours is Natural Born Killers. And we were wondering, did you get to hang out with Rodney at all?
I was never on set with him. I was barely on set. I was in the movie. I shot a lot of days. And I think you see my legs once. I mean, it was just a bizarre, the whole thing was bizarre for me. It was weird. I'd show up and I'd walk into the scene. First thing we're going to rehearse the first thing in the morning. And Oliver Stone, who never got my name right, would say, Hey, Pasquiri, what are you doing here? I'm in this scene. Not in this one. Okay. I go back the next day. Pasquiri, you're not here. Okay. That was a lot of that.
I'm maybe in the minority, but I enjoyed watching you with Greg Giraldo on Common Law.
Well, I think you're in the minority, not because people didn't like it, but just because no one saw it. That was a blast. That was a great gang too. The whole group that we worked with. There was Carlos Jacot from Chicago was on that, and Susie Nakamura, Peter Marietta wrote on it. And then I got to meet Greg. Greg was absolutely fantastic. Still one of my favorite stand-ups. He's so bright and so funny. But yeah, Gregory Sierra and John DiMaggio was on it on the pilot. And Deanna Maria Riva, everybody was just great. We had the best time.
You know, that whole crew, and we don't get off into whole like, oh, you just can't say anything anymore, because I hate it when people say that. But that kind of comedy with Giraldo and Patrice O'Neill and like our kind of generation's comedy where you made fun of people and everybody laughed. And it was like,
that has kind of, don't really
do that anymore. I mean, do you feel like it is hard to...
No, I don't really. I think people are more interested in being offended than they used to be. They're real active in their pursuit of being offended. But in general, if people say stupid shit. Okay, you said stupid shit. You got to be, responsible. But the one problem I find, especially with things like improvisation and stand-up, because stand-up has to be worked on in public. And so while you're working on it, that's not exactly what I wanted to say, or that didn't come out, that didn't get the effect I was looking for. I still like the topic. But if I'm not perfect at that, I can, get nailed for trying something, so that's the only problem I find with regarding stand-up is people judging something as though it's completed when it is a work in progress. Now,
you have to be like working out material, do it like an invite only set to work out your material just so that everybody in there isn't going to burn you.
Right. And they may anyway. you can't, right? So that's the problem that I find with it is that people are just too quick to be. Sometimes people are too quick to be offended.
It's like a sport.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and also in improvisation, most of the stuff I do now is this long form thing I do with TJ Jagodowski called TJ and Dave. And we don't really get into too many hot, button topics. We just kind of stay pretty suburban.
That's how we do on this podcast. No politics, no religion.
Right. Okay.
Nothing like that. It's only just
assisted
fun
suicide.
Stuff. if it's a good one. I'm sure Mr. Immortal could come up with
Immortal a
fun
way.
Experience. Can I hire Tony Pugliotti to carve my turkey this year?
Yeah, absolutely. It gets a little messy. You can't tell the difference between cranberry and blood on an acre.
Did you come up with that character or did Amy?
That was Paul and Amy. Yeah. The last name means stabber. That's the verb for to stab.
I did not know that.
Yes. Nice. No, that was really a blast. And okay, so here's it. And on that show in the second season, Anu Valia directed, and that's how she directed the Mr. Immortal episode of She-Hulk.
Oh, wow.
And more episodes than that. But like it's always connected, for me anyway, it's always connected back to my roots in Chicago and improvisation, almost always. Once in a while, there's something else that happens, but almost always it has something to do with Chicago.
I mean, with you and Amy both being in the Star Wars universe now, did you ever think that would happen?
No way. And that's up there with my favorite days of working ever, was fucking off on the Star Wars back lot with Amy while it's not just us. There's a ton of shit going on, but we're just fucking off and having the times of our lives. And we're not screwing anything up. That was what we're there to do. Oh, it was so much fun. So much fun running around in a dress with fucking shit hanging off my head, hitting on Amy. Yeah, that was pretty fun.
And also with former podcast guest, W. Earl Brown.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't work with him there, but boy, he's a great guy.
He tried out for Second City, I think.
Yeah, I remember him back in Chicago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was John Favreau there?
He was indeed. We were friendly back then. And then I hadn't heard from him I ran into him once in LA, maybe 15 years ago. And then I got a call, hey, you want to come do this?
Nice.
It was, and yeah, it was so fun. The writing was just so, it was exactly the kind of stuff that I really enjoy. As you said, Stephanie, being a slime ball, that's my thing.
I don't know how that has happened, because you're obviously, you're such a nice person. How did you develop this persona of, you have such a deadpan way, like when you were Andrew on Veep, I mean, oh my.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. That's, well, again, like Favreau wrote all that stuff for Major Domo, and I just said the words, right? And it's the same thing on Veep. There was some improvisation in that, but there is some improvisation in that, but it's just written so well. That's the thing that I find. When you go onto a set, sometimes the people who write it go, hey man, this is just, just use this as a jumping off point and do whatever you want. But those people who say that usually have a fantastic script. And then the ones who say exactly these words, oftentimes, those aren't as good.
Yeah, I was going to talk about your episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry and Jeff Garland. You must have known Jeff from Second City, of course.
I've known Jeff and still do before Second City, back doing stand-up and stuff like that back in the mid-80s. Yeah, I've known Jeff for a really long time. And that's, of course, how I got the audition to come in for that for Larry David Show. And that was a fun time too, and that was a fun time. Just go ahead and make it. You're supposed to make it all up. it gives you some backstory, you know, like you got to add these things and this is what happened, but then you just make it all up. And then you do the next take. And he's like, I like that part. Change this. Don't say that again, because that doesn't make sense for something else we're doing. And it was really fun. It was, you know, almost surgical. It was really, it was neat.
And he's still, I mean, Curb is still so relevant, so funny. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, well, he's never going to run out of him.
That's for sure. Well, we were talking about Andrew. Did you have any influence on how that creator, I mean, like, was there any person that you based Andrew on to play?
No, not anyone in specific, but, you know, people like that, that just, you know, characteristics or a mindset. Like there was a line in season six or something that I think is crystallizes what I thought all along was, oh, I thought we understood I was lying. Right? Like this is how things always go. And just absolute confidence and never concerned with anything about honesty, at which I was really fun to do. And playing with Julia was a real treat also. That whole group. And a lot of them have connections with Chicago. Almost all of them. Of the cast, I mean. And yeah, got to meet and work with, I barely knew Gary Cole. He was part of Remains Theater in Chicago. And getting to play with him was a blast. Kevin Dunn, I was around the same time. I never got to work with him. That was a blast getting to know him. And of course, Matt and Tim Simons. And it was just a blast.
I mean, I just don't understand that you have to really be just a gladiator in improv to hang with that crew. I mean, for the lines were just machine gun. Sometimes I find myself having to rewind and listen to it again, because it's like I've laughed over one line and I know that this was funny too. I mean, they just come at you so fast.
I had to do the same thing, and I already knew what the lines were, right? But I'm watching it at home, and I said, what are they? Oh, yeah.
I found it helped if you turned the subtitles on.
To keep up.
It's English, and I'm listening and reading at the same time.
Sometimes I do the subtitles, but then I read faster than they speak, and I ruined their joke for them.
I loved how Andrew, through all of this, you know, towards the end, he faked his death, and then he ends up coming to Selena's funeral, which was so apropos to his whole storyline.
Yeah,
that we loved Veep.
I did too. That was really that was a great show. I've been really fortunate and being able to work on what I think have been really great shows. And also, somebody was asking, how do you pick your material really well because you're on these great shows? I go, no, man, I try to get the shitty jobs too.
Well, I mean, Lodge, to me, I feel, I won't watch, Jeff's tried to get me to watch The Resort, but Lodge broke my heart so badly. The way it ended so abruptly, I'm like, if it happens again, I can't handle it. Even the soundtrack for The Lodge, whoever put all the music together.
He's fantastic. Doggone it. You remember the muse Genevieve?
Yeah.
It's her husband. Uh-huh.
You're not a member of any fraternal organizations, are you?
I have two brothers, so that makes me part of that organization, but that's it.
What would be Blaze's favorite strain for going on a vision quest?
It'd have to have DMT. I don't know what one's come with that.
What was your understanding of what happened to Blaze in the grocery store?
Yeah. So there's all these warnings in The Pursuit of Alchemy. This way lies madness. And that's all that happened, you know. And Blaze got in real deep and something snapped. That's what I think happened. And now he's like, well, I can't do that. But my hunch is Blaze is still very interested and is doing his best to not investigate, but he's not going to last that long, is my hunch.
Well, I have some old dogs that I would really like Blaze to concoct some rubs for their various growths and ailments.
Can do. Yeah, that was a blast. That was really, and all of that too was so much fun. Like the wardrobe costume designer, Carol Cutshall down there, she was just amazing. And so all that whole aspect of it, the set design, the art department, everybody on that was just top of their game. It was so much fun. And Jim Gavin, those scripts, don't let him know I said anything nice about him. But that was just a real treat. We'd get, you know, first season, they was written before we shot, but we didn't get all the scripts at once. So when we would get scripts, we always hung out together. The whole gang, really, we all got along really well. So, but not on the days that we got scripts, we'd all go to our own places and just read, because we were fans. We were just fans of the material. And so your reader's like, no way. Oh, wow, that's me. I should probably pay attention.
I mean, the show was, there's very few shows whenever you sit down to watch them, it's just a hug, the whole episode. Even if it's sad or whatever. And to, you know, I think for anybody, especially if you've had a lot of loss in your life, that show was so significant. And it, you know, kind of puts you on the path to like, how can you move past these things? There's just not enough shows like that.
Yeah, I was, Larry Charles wrote something real nice about it. And he said it's, you know, rather than wealthy people with a lot being shitty, it's people with nothing being kind. And I think it's the exact opposite, right, of what most of the time what we see. And I agree, it was and it really affected. I'd never been part of something that had that kind of, when people liked it, I mean, they really liked it, not to the point of, you know, obsession or, you know, weirdness, but they just adored the show and they really got a lot out of it. I'd never seen that happen before. It was really cool.
What did AMC, what was it that made them not give it a third?
I do not know. I don't know. And I don't ever know. Like, I don't know why Common Law, you know, I don't know why anyone. Right. And also, let's remember, AMC put it on the air for 2 years. Yeah, true. So, you know, nobody else was doing that. And I think it's great. I think it's amazing that that show got on the air at all. And that's Giamatti and his company. And
did you have any places that you liked to go when you were here in Atlanta?
There's a couple of those Italian restaurants. Storico Fresco and Antico Posto, both up in Buckhead Village, and then all the coffee shops. Nice. But those, that Storico Fresco is, I think it's still there. Man, that was absolutely fantastic food. And I was living up near there. That was great. And all the coffee shops are great. We used to, Sonia Cassidy and Linda Eamon and I would sample as many coffee shops as we could. I like it down there in Atlanta.
Do you?
I do.
I was going to say, I mean, you guys do a lot of filming. I mean, around here or whatever.
I worked up in Shreveport, you know, which they used to do a ton. When a hurricane came and took out New Orleans, everything moved up to Shreveport for a while because Louisiana used to have a huge tax incentive like Georgia does now. And so there was a lot being shot down there and then had to move up to Shreveport. That was rough, man.
Is there any chance that we might see Mr. Immortal again next season in She-Hulk?
No idea about that. I sure would love it. That was so much fun. That was really fun. Jessica Gao was really a blast to do that.
It's my favorite Marvel series that they've done so far. I
think it's the only one that they've gone for straight up comedy too. Right.
Yeah.
And I think they really and I think they really did a good job with it.
Yeah. The last episode when she just totally destroyed every Marvel trope. And I mean, just all of it. It was so great.
Who has the worst NDA between Marvel and Disney, or are they both the same because it's all
Pretty much the same. Well, I did more on Star Wars. So, and also Star Wars is legendary for it, right? And they've been doing it a lot longer, so they're better at it. It was hard to get. It's a weird way to work, you know. It's just a weird way to work. And then once I signed the NDA, it's still hard to get information. Like, I just signed it. But now it's become so much more commonplace to have those documents that you have to sign them before you audition for a car commercial and shit like that. Oh, wait a minute. What? Mazda's a selling a car? Insane. A lot of it's insane.
Well, and before we let you go, I know we've kept you on here forever, but I wanted to know, are there any shows or movies or podcasts that you've listened to or watched recently that you would recommend that you're into?
Well, you're Tim Robinson. I'm a big fan of that. Still, one of my favorite shows was a show on Amazon called Patriot.
That's the second recommendation we've had on the show for Patriot.
I can't imagine you'd be disappointed if you check that out.
Yeah, Dave Willis from Aqua Teen, he's obsessed with Patriot.
It's amazing. It's really a great show. Just a wonderful show.
What will we be seeing you on in coming up? Do you have anything?
Why, you got anything? you know something?
I'm going to get to town on this I Think You Should Leave Now campaign. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing more shows with TJ in New York beginning of December. There's a book about improvisation called Improvisation at the Speed of Life. That if you're interested in our kind of improvisation, that's an explanation of how we do it. Other than that, not much.
And you're still doing Graveyard Show.
No, we haven't. We haven't. We were talking about that because we did three seasons of it. And by season, I mean, we shoot from dusk till dawn at that office building. And it's brutal. And so we shoot 13 of those little things over one night. And so then they changed the setup of the office building. The office building got a facelift and we don't like it anymore. But we were talking about making that into something, perhaps trying to do that into a show or something.
Where is this office building at?
Out in Downers Grove in Chicago, outside of Chicago. Downers Grove, home of Emo Phillips.
Yeah.
And let me ask you, what inspired you guys to pick those, you know, particularly where you work at the desk and he's a maintenance man and...
A part of it was the function of it, that it doesn't take people. Also, that was Ron Lazzaretti. So there's three of us. It's Chris Stolte and I are the actors in it, and Ron Lazzaretti is the director, and the three of us write it. But it was mostly Ron's notion at the beginning. And it was let's have... We'd worked with him before, and then Chris and I did a show together, a play together, and he's like, yeah, let's try something. And so the idea was just that something happens that at night when there's no rush, those hours you talk about things differently. And so that's was the useful part of it, which we do. We hang out, and that's basically our conversations when we hang out too.
Before I let you go, I heard Jeff Garland like years ago on a podcast talking about making you do a monkey impersonation.
Yeah, it's actually not a monkey impersonation. It's me saying the word monkey.
Oh, okay.
We were down in Florida. Richard Label and I and Jeff drove down, and we're staying at his house. And then his brother and friends used to be counselors at a camp, so we had this huge... it was like a extra long suburban, but with a lot of benches, you know, bench seats in it. And we'd drive down the road and you'd get a signal when the driver was going to slam on the brakes. And so you'd jump up and then dive across all the benches and end up in the front of the thing. There was a monkey hanging from the rearview mirror, a weird looking rubberized monkey-ish thing. And so I would just look at it and go, I'm not going to do it how I do it, but I say, monkey, 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 but in a bizarre fashion. And so Jeff would have me do that when it amused him. And the deal was always, you got to do it, you know? And one time at breakfast, there was another reaction that I give when he said the words magic Abula. And so I'm crawling around under the kitchen table because he's saying magic Abula. And his mother says, Jeffrey, don't make David do that.
Sounds right. Well, you're the best. And thank you so much for coming on here. We absolutely love you. Huge fans. So thanks, we really so appreciate much. Talking to us.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I'm a big fan of that Lodge 49. So anybody who shares my opinion, I'm a fan of as well.
Well, thank you so much. Come back on. We would love to have you.
Yeah, She-Hulk season 2.
She-Hulk season 2 or Great Lakes Avengers.
Yeah.
Or I think you should leave now because it's going to happen. Okay, Tim's going to call you.
Thank you. All right, see you.
Bye, guys.